football on Off the Ball.
And sadly, Irish football, out of the 55 federations, when you line them all up, is the third most underperforming nation.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
The Racing Pod
on Off the Ball
with William Hill. 18 plus. See gamblingcare.ie.
And it is the Racing Pod, Cheltenham special, day two. Tom Malone will be with us shortly, but over to Cheltenham, straight over to John Duggan, who looks resplendent in what appears to be sunshine at Presby Park on day two. And what do you have besides, JD?
I have in my hand, Johnny, good morning. Good morning, everybody. We have the Ladies' Day programme for Cheltenham day two. It is the official race card for Wednesday, the 11th of March, 2026. And what will we have today, Johnny, with the champion chase? And just looking through the numbers of horses running today. One of the stories about Cheltenham this year, Johnny, is how competitive it is. It is so competitive. 22 runners the first race, 16 the second race, 24 the third race, 14 the fourth race, 10 in the champion chase, 20 in the next race, 22 in the bumper. 128 horses running today at Cheltenham, which is bathed in sunshine. There was rain overnight, but not as much as they expected. 1.5 millimetres. So the going has changed from good to soft to good to soft, good in places. Beautiful day, ladies' day. Looking forward to a real Beano here today, Johnny.
So let's talk about day one. For me, this was just magic. The Supreme, how beautiful the horses looked beforehand, some of the protagonists. The way the market got it so spot on. The market was against all of the Irish. Who would have thought it in the Supreme? 1, 2, 3, 4 for the British, JD. It was like old times.
It was, and I wonder, did the Dublin Racing Festival leave a mark with the really bad wet weather we've had in Ireland over the winter? Like Talk the Talk, for example, ran no sort of race. El Kairos didn't really show up to the ability that they said that he had beforehand. And I mean, Old Park Star, the noise when Old Park Star crossed the line, first race, favourites, just under 2-1, place went nuts. People have this horse in multiples, and probably a bit of home fervor as well about it, Johnny. You know, it was some roar now, not only the roar for the opening tape of the Supreme Novices Hurdle, but for El Park Star to win. And actually, one of the things I thought about the day yesterday was the market was right. Look, obviously the vibes from Close Sutton and Carlo about Lassie Mouth were good, that she was working better. And you could really see that in the market. She was quite a strong favourite, 7-5 favourite. And I generally felt, Johnny, that the market was a good indicator yesterday of how things will go.
Very much so. And just to speak to me about Lassie Mouth, I'll happily admit I was wrong about this, but I was wrong in hindsight because she had done nothing in her life to suggest that she had this in her. In my view, she had the cheek pieces on. There was something must have been amiss at Leopardstown. That was almost too bad to be true. There were too many negatives at the prices. But as you say, JD, the market somehow figured out Lassie Mouth was very likely to run a career best here.
I spoke to William Mullins last night, 1-1, and it was very interesting what he said. He said that Lassie Mouth, they always felt through almost her dam, she had a lot of speed. So he was said that when she won the Triumph Hurdle here a few years ago as a four-year-old, she ran away with Paul Tannen, but still managed to win the race. The way I would kind of tend to think about it, Johnny, is it's like the horse. If you consider like an athletic, say the champion hurdle is the 200 meters. It's almost like Lassie Mouth was running too fast over 200 meters, maybe 100-meter, 150-meter pace. They said, you know what, this horse is going to burn herself out, so we need to settle her. So they settled her, but almost like for 400 meters. So she's then getting very, very settled in her races. But then that speed is not being kicked into gear. So she's almost then running in the Mares Hurdle, the longer race. So they had to get to that midway point where they had to get her to peak in a 200 meters race in inverted commas. If you use the athletics analogy, that's why they put the cheek pieces on. And then they found that they had her in that sweet spot of distance, that she could use her speed. And to be honest, I think she won very well. But once again, it's horses for courses here, and she's never been beaten here. And I do think she appreciates good ground. So I think she was a worthy winner. And she's won out 4 festivals. And I feel that she could come back here and do it again. So she's only 7. And everybody loves to see a grey mare, and she was got a great reception.
Yeah, as you say, she's only 7, grey mare. And but for the life of, I don't know, she could have been running in that bloody mares race tomorrow if in another world, and thankfully she wasn't. She went to the champion hurdle and she saved the race a bit after the defection of Constitution Hill. And this followed the Arkell, JD. This was one of the races, and you've spoken about how big the fields were. This was one of the anomalous, thankfully, races that we did have a small field in, but take nothing away from it. This was unbelievable to watch from start to finish. At the first flight, Kopech de Boards balloons it. The second one, he gets it wrong. Immediately, I'm thinking he'll do wonders to win this race. And yet, coming to the last, he cruises there on the bridle and he gets it wrong. So it was like his inexperience ultimately did cost him. But was that the story of the race? Was it Lulamba probably not being quick enough, or was it Danny Mullins and Kerjezi?
The story of the race, Johnny, is that this is jumps racing.
Exactly.
we have to bring it back to this National Hunt race, and you got to jump the fences. Okay, the fences might even be easier than they used to be, and even the way they're situated at Cheltenham, they're definitely more friendly to the horses, but you still have to jump them. You still have to jump the hurdles. You still have to jump the fences. I mean, that's the question mark from Ashborough, where we'll get to later on in the pod here, that will his jumping cost him the champion chase today? But Lulamba, second last mistake, he's done. Kopech de Boards, mistake at the last fence, he's done. And with that, with the way Kerjezi was jumping in a great rhythm for Danny Mullins up front, then she had obviously the advantage that she was able to win the race. And he Danny Mullins from the front, to me, is always a really good rider. He's a really good rider, a positive rider to get horses into a rhythm. And this horse, Kerjezi, once again, horses for courses. She won the county hurdle here last year. And William Mullins said to me, she was really hard on herself in her earlier part of her career, but she's got to settle into a position now where she can win races and championship races. So three winners for Ireland on day one, four for the home team, and a couple of winners for JP McManus on his 75th birthday. Johnny Who, which I kind of felt now, there's one that got away at 18-1, given you so close to winning the festival last year. And well done to you, Johnny Ward. Saratoga, I know you're going there now on your holidays after napping him at 10-1 yesterday.
Yeah, and I hope people followed in, and that is that's why Cheltenham is magic. You can have a bet in the Arkell and say, clearly, you know, 7-1, 8-1 is available on Kerjezi. I know from the market she's not the stable first string. That doesn't mean she's not going to win. And Saratoga, who was 5-1, basically 24 hours, 48 hours before the race, a week, 2 weeks before the race, drifts out to 10-1 because he's apparently not the McManus first string in the Fred Winter. And Johnny Who goes off 18, Sweet Jaguar, who goes off threes. So this is the magic of Cheltenham, JD. The markets, you can fancy a horse, and even if the horse is on the drift, maybe you go in again. You know, you can back him each way. You can get your extra places, quarter the odds each way with hills in all races. And we just saw horses who drifted and won. What was your highlight of the day?
Lassie Mouth probably is the highlight of the day, to be honest, Johnny. Look, a mare winning a championship race, and good to see it. And I think another thing yesterday was as well that we had, a good performance from the home team. Nicky Henderson with a couple of winners, Holloway Queen and Old Park Star. Dan Skelton's Madara was a very easy winner of that place chase, 3-1 favourite.
He is some man, JD, isn't he? He's just like, you know, he's become a bit of a plot king, this trainer.
He is, yeah, Dan Skelton. He's very good at finding handicaps. And look, even if you don't have championship horses, and the new line disappointed for the Skeltons yesterday, he's probably the best horse they've ever had. But if you don't have that quality of animal, then they say, where can we try and find a little bit of an advantage here throughout the season in handicap races and chases and hurdles? So, I mean, they're very good at it. And look, 10 years ago, it wasn't them. In 10 years' time, it might be somebody else. And there's always trainers. Gavin Cromwell's come along in Ireland. And like even the way Wilder Wise ran yesterday is a positive for his yard.
Yeah.
And that there are trainers that can spot things. And I don't know if you want to go through the market moves for today, Johnny, now.
Before that, we'll get Tom Malone, speaking of quality of animal. And before JD is going to talk about, I love a market mover, me. But Bugsy, you were here buzzing yesterday on day one. It absolutely delivered, did it not?
Oh, it didn't let us down at all, did it? Just incredible. And we kind of mentioned as well, the fly in the Arkell ointment could have been Danny Mullins, and that's exactly what happened. He was brilliant, wasn't he? Because he kind of expected Kerjezi to go nuts, but he didn't. He just used her jumping then and then used her battling skills later on. But as John says, Lassie Mouth was just magical. You know, she's delivered on the biggest stage. She's really silenced any whatever doubters. I don't even have too many doubters, but just do it in a champion hurdle. Probably the opening two furlongs of the race are the most important for her. And, you know, when it was obvious the pace wasn't going to be absolutely nuts, Paul Tanner just had to settle her and roll away. And yeah, brilliant, brilliant days racing.
Wasn't just on Tom, on the article, was that not the magic though of all of the different things you throw into the pot, the ingredients, and you see what it tastes like at the end? Because Lulamba, there were doubts. Lulamba had all the experience, but probably doubts about the horse's raw speed. Absolutely borne out. There were doubts about Kopech De Boer's ability to jump. Absolutely borne out. And then ultimately, Danny Mullins combined with the mare with experience, who's 7-1 in a, what basically is a three-horse race, I suppose, wins. And you could have backed her at 8-1 on the day, even though there were sound reasons to think she will pick up the pieces, I suppose, if one of the others disappoints.
Oh, yeah. I suppose, like, I mean, you know, it was a six-horse race. Maybe we should have been thinking about Shelburne Park and just doing a tri-cast because It didn't really did look as the three-runner race, didn't it? But, you know, that was very much after timing. But I thought it was a brilliant spectacle. And, you know, just as well, the way, like, the battling quality shows, but how quick she was over her fences was brilliant as well. You know, that was the real kind of point of difference earlier in the race. I know Lulamba and Kopech made mistakes, but essentially she made them make mistakes because of the pressure she put them under to, you know, to catch up with her. She's kind of getting a length of fence, and no, it was brilliant.
Okay, JD, market moves. Day two of the greatest show on earth.
Day two of Cheltenham. We are so excited about this, folks. Johnny buzzing. And Tom. Buzzing. We're buzzing. And that's great that Tottenham Hotspur, you know, it's such a thing that's far away from me now at the moment. Like, I don't even know what's going on.
17 minutes last night was this?
Yeah. I'm just thinking to myself, I've got the antidote of the vibrancy, and I'm in the complete bubble wrap of Cheltenham here, and I have no idea what's going on with Tottenham Hotspur. Even they're going to be relegated, and they're out of the Champions League effectively now. So that's the beauty of Cheltenham. Cheltenham's giving me that cotton wool approach. The Champion Chase, folks, 4 o'clock today, 4 p.m. for the big 2 mile blue ribboned. The Queen Mother Champion Chase of 2 mile jumping, and Mashborough drifting a bit. 11 to 10 on could be even money, to be honest, folks, pretty shortly for Mashborough in the colours of JB McManus, who's never won the race, the Champion Chase. William Mullins training with Mark Walsh to ride. Money for Ilette Tons, very strong, 130 in the market now, and found a 50 bit of a nibble on him at 28 to 1 for Gordon Elliott. The 120, the Turners and Offices Hurdle, no drama this end, pretty neutral, 5 to 2 favourite. I'll sort that, who we spoke to Declan Queeley on the show last Sunday. From Nace, 25 to 1 yesterday into 12 to 1, a massive plunge in this horse. Grade 1 winner at Nace, remember, this season. Money for Scott Eyed Hustle of Gordon Elliott's as well into 12 to 1. The 2 o'clock Romeo Coolio in the Novices Chase, 3 to 1 favourites, pretty neutral. Western Fold to Love the Ground, 11 to 1 bit of money for that. Final Demand, you know, you think he might want softer ground, but he's been very strong on the market into 9 to 2. Kids Boohill's got support. We saw him win so well at Kempton. 14 to 1 bit of money, bigger prices for Predator's Gold, 33s. And also Thomas Moore at 50 to 1. 240, which is the big handicap hurdle over 2.5 miles. Stormheart, 9 to 2 favourite, being backed. Also, Jingo Blue attracting significant support for Nicky Henderson today into 6 to 1, was 10s earlier. Put Your Hands Together, 9 to 1, a solid. Bunting is 14 to 1, bit of money for him. And Sonny Bill at a price, 40 to 1. The 320, the cross country favourite, Deschamps, very strong to win again at the course. 9 to 4 favourite, being backed. Money for Pied Piper in the same stable. Gordon Elliott's 12 to 1 now. Fakir Dudarees, 14 to 1, getting support. The Goffer at 16s, bit of a little bit for him. And Late Night Pass also attracting each way money at 40 to 1. The 440, which is the Grand Annual, the 2 mile chase for handicappers. Be aware, 9 to 2 favourites is drifting. And money for Ballysacks Hank for Gavin Cromwell, 11 to 1. Remember, ran in the American Grand National. And Break My Soul for Ian Patrick Donoghue, 14 to 1 is the price wise tip in the Racing Post. Rubo, who won, I think, a Scottish Champion Hurdle off the top of my head, loves good ground. Has money for that Paul Nicholls horse into 16s. A bit of a mover today. And the last one, the Bumper Lads, 5.20. Love Sign Donoghue. Pretty neutral, 9 to 2 favourites. Think Woody Mullins might want softer ground for this one. Money for Keeping Company for Gordon Elliott and Jack Kennedy, 6 to 1 now. Morn Rambler with Colin Keane riding. A flat jockey for Noel Mead, 7 to 1. And Broadway Ted also getting money. Unbeaten horse, top of the ratings, 14 to 1 for Gordon Elliott. Colin Keane, lads, riding today at Cheltenham. That's a great story.
Yeah, and if you go onto the William Hill website, for example, you get price boosts on, and don't be you know, a prisoner to just win markets. Romeo Coolio to finish in the first four, for example, is even money as a price boost. And we'll start though with the big race. Over to you, JD. I, I don't see, and markets worry me, particularly when you have a second string in the same yard being back. But for me, Majmura is much the best of these if he jumps around.
Yeah, and Mark Walsh, look, he's been an excellent jockey over the years, and he's a great servant, and he's really delivered now, especially remembering the Gold Cup last year. I know the way you're thinking. This is a big day for Mark Walsh. We saw the really good ride he gave Saratoga, and it's all about getting Majmura into a rhythm here in this champion chase. And AP McCoy, who loves Majmura and thinks he's a bit different, just said, go out like the clappers. Just go hell for leather, to paraphrase him. It reminds me a bit of Undeso. Remember Undeso used to go out and it's just like, there's only one gear and that's fast. And then you can see if you can take a breather and get everybody out of their comfort zone. Maybe Mark Walsh should do that today. Maybe that's just the best way to ride Majmura, because, I mean, if you're trying to save a bit and then, you know, like, are you going to get away with a mistake as much as you would if there are other horses there? But, I mean, will Irish Panther challenge Majmura for the lead if Majmura does decide to go off? I mean, you can definitely see Il Était Temps picking them off. But what about Il Était Temps' record at Cheltenham? It's always struck me as a horse that's better right-handed. Lotus Sud is 5-1, was close with Majmura in the Arkle last year, is a course and distance winner. I mean, he could be a popular each-way option. Calixios is a strange one because he ran well in the race last year before falling. And this is his first race since then for Henry de Bromhead as a course and distance winner, won the Triumph Hurdle a few years ago. I found a 50, probably maybe just a little bit below grade one level. Captain Guinness, probably too old. Sansigal, once again, could be in between grade two and grade one level. Liberty Hunter, to me, is a handicapper, and Brookie is making up the numbers. Look, they'd be disappointing if Majmura didn't win, but since the turn of the century, Johnny, 10 times there have been horses that have been odds on in the champion chase and they've got beaten.
Yeah, that's a mad stat. As I've said on this podcast a bit, I remember back in Masterminded at 2-5 in this race, and it was not fun at all. He's not 2-5, Bugsy, though. He's 10-11, maybe even money. And in my view, if you're lucky enough to have a horse that's within an ass's roar, as my mother used to say, I've been good enough to run at Cheltenham, run the horse at Cheltenham. And that's what they've done this year. Connections are running horses. An Irish Panther, who's a 9-year-old, maybe his age is factored in, runs here rather than having run in the Arkle yesterday, making it all a really intriguing champion chase.
Yeah, I think it's fascinating. And look, it's all about Majmura, really. The real Majmura showed up the last day in Leopardstown. If that Majmura shows up, they won't see what way he goes. I think it's as simple as that. What happened in the Arkle last year will be in everyone's minds. He has made jumping errors in the last, but he's still a young horse. Like, you're talking about Irish Panther, who's technically a novice, and he's 9, and Majmura is only 6. You know, he's still an exceptional horse. He's still young. He's still improving. But I just think, you know, grab a hold of his head, jump out in front and see if they can catch him. And to be perfectly honest, there's very little evidence to suggest they can catch him barring an accident.
Tom, after two dreadful, dreadful mistakes in the Arca last year, he split Django Bay and Lotus Sud.
Absolutely. And, he's still nearly won. Like, you know, There was a couple of strides there where you thought, oh, he's actually going to get back up here. Like, that's the level of engine you're talking about. He can uproot too and still, you know, almost win. He has phenomenal ability. And like I said, a clear round of jumping. Your price 10-11 there is basically thinking a coin toss. He can get from A to B over the course of fences over 2 miles. That's the price you're getting, because otherwise he beats all these. And I think his jumping's been ironed out. I think... he was a bit rusty the first day. He was ridden the wrong way at Christmas. And then obviously, you know, Mark Walsh is given enormous credit for what happened on at the Dublin Racing Festival. And that's clearly the right way to ride him. You can hear now Tony McCoy's rowing in behind that tactic as well. So, you know, I think he just jumps out, gets into rhythm and does what he should do. You know, I mean, I went to see him win his beginner's chase in Fairy House. He was incredibly impressive. A beautiful, beautiful specimen of a horse, and I hope he wins.
JD spoke yesterday about his shirt being pristine, everyone's shirt being pristine. Bugsy is now on about Majmura's jumping being ironed out. It hasn't just been ironed out, it's been turned out to be absolutely immaculate. This horse is a spectacular jumper. So people are almost focusing more on the fact that he might make a mistake as opposed to the electric ability he has from getting from A to B very, very quickly to actually gain ground and put his stamp on the race. And for me, that's been a little bit lost in the narrative. He's a spectacular jumper. And obviously, he did make a mistake. Yeah.
I couldn't agree more. And, you know, the thing is, when a horse is such a good jumper, they have a mistake in them because they will often take some risks. And, you know, to try and get him to get into the roots of fences, and you're dulling his biggest strength by not letting him roll on and attack his fences. So there is an element of risk in the tactic, just because you bring more risk into play by just letting him attack his fences. But it's his biggest strength. He's an enormous engine. He's the, like I said, he's a brilliant jumper, and just use that and, you know, go win a champion chase, like a proper champion chaser. You know, that's like, John mentioned Andy So, and he's the horse that comes to mind so much. And, you know, Ruby had to really work on Andy So to, you know, keep him under wraps a little bit. I just hope they can find a balance here with Majra, where they went to be too conservative with him 2 runs ago, and they've got it spot on last time, and I think they get it spot on again today.
And the pod is available wherever you get your pods daily at 11:30. We're going to go to the first race of the day. This is the Turner's Novice Hurdle on the old course, JD. And I guess the story of the market here has been no drama this end. It was about 5-1 yesterday, 9-4. And I can only suppose that this is strongly linked to the British dominance in the novice hurdle race yesterday.
Yes, and Paul Nicholls has made no, I suppose, secret the fact that they really highly rate this no drama this end. They won the Cello Hurdle at Newbury and very strong 9-4. But look, you're trying to take... This is a race about potential stars of the future, isn't it? It's about the Istabraks, the Fahins, the Hardys. This is one of before. You're 22 runners in a race, and you're taking 9-4 at Cheltenham on Wednesday. You'd be a brave person to be doing that. And I know it worked out with Old Park Star. I think this is a deeper race. Like, William Mullins has Sober, King Rascal Grey in there. There's money for Sortudo now in the last few minutes into 9-1. Bit of a move for him. Like, Batty Fad, you can't really rib his form. You could pick any of these. Even Lares Desterval has been back now. The one I've gone for, like, Rocky's Diamond turned up at a Stayers Hurdle last year and was fourth for Declan Queedy in Waterford. Met him last week, and he said that I'll sort that as the best horse he's ever had. He says he's a freak of nature. He was 25-1 yesterday. There's been a massive plunge in him relative to that, where he's now generally about a 12-1 shot in the betting. I think that yard knows the time of day. He's a grade one winner at Nace. And I went down to Nace yesterday, and the actual uphill finish at Nace reminds me quite a lot of Cheltenham. And I think that he's good at each way. Look, he could be a bigger price than that come 120 when we get to post time. But, I mean, just because he's trained in a different yard to Willie Mullins or Paul Nicholls or Gordon Eddy, it doesn't mean he hasn't got a real live chance. So I'm going to go with that. I'll sort that at about a 12-1 shot each way. I wouldn't be taking 9-4 and no drama this end, even if he's very highly regarded from his trainer and I might win.
Yeah, and even though, Tom, we've 4 races for novices, if you want to include the Mayor's Novice Hurdle, massive, massive fields here, and this race is deep. I was with No Drama This End, but I'm with JD. I'm not backing him at 9-4 when he was 4-5-1 yesterday. You can't back a horse in a grade one that you missed the price to that extent, in my view, so I just leave it. Look for something else in the race. I did like him yesterday, but he's been very well backed.
Yeah, I exactly, as I say. If you didn't get invited to the wedding, don't go to the funeral. But don't. And that's the case of No Drama. Look, No Drama This End is probably, you know, on what we saw yesterday, English novices look better than Irish novices. A lot of this form ties into what happened yesterday. No Drama This End looks like, you would have said, he was the top English novice. Paul Nicholls' horses are running well. You know, Quebec were just touched off yesterday. No Drama This End, he said, is his best horse, is his best chance. So look, he's a worthy favourite. But again, I just hate the price. I'm with you on that. Like, I'll sort that. You know, he won at Nace as well, that 2.5 mile grade one. That's good. I mean, just I'm struggling to come up with a really good each way angle into it. Mm. But I'm not... I like the horse, but I don't like the price. It's long and short of it, really.
Staying with you for the race two, the Broadway Novices Chase, also known as the Brown Advisory, for sponsorship purposes. And we had 16 declared here, Tom, and maybe not a massive surprise that one horse has been scratched, the Big Westerner, about whom there were some ground-related fears. And Cocktail Divan, who was Darrow Keith's mount in the race, irrespective, 7-1 now. All the reports are that he is working very, very well. He was spectacular at Leopardstown last time, but no surprise, given how well Collateral Form has worked out, that Romeo Coolio has been well backed. And a bit like No Drama This End, he was my selection in the race, but he's come in a lot in the betting.
Yeah, I mean, Kisnwell will be looking to be the first horse since Champ to not complete and then go and win this race. And then I think Champ is the only horse that's done that in 20 years. So I kind of like Kisnwell, but just that stat leaves you a bit cold on him. Look, Romeo Coolio, what he's done this year is spectacular. Stepping up to 3 miles, particularly if they don't go crazy early doors, I think he's a super chance. My mind is drawn back to the way he won at Fairy House earlier on in the year. And, you know, if he turns up in that kind of form and we have a similar kind of running in this race where there's no crazy early pace, he can just get settled into a rhythm. Romeo Coolio has a right chance in this race. And then you're forgetting about Final Demand, Cade Doughty. I thought Cocktail Diving was going to go for that 2.5 mile novice handicap. Ends up here. So, look, Kisbwell, Predator's goal's been tipped up each way a bit as well. I like his chances because his novice form ties in with some brilliant novices. So, yeah, I kind of like Predator's Golden each way chance, but I'm just going to have to stick with Romeo Coolio now.
So many negatives, JD, for Final Demand. Even if, strictly speaking, he's actually been quite a consistent racehorse, has a tongue tie on for the first time. I do recall speaking to Willie Mullins shortly after the Dublin Racing Festival, and he essentially said, do not give up on Final Demand and do not give up on Lossiemouth for Cheltenham.
Well, the market's not giving up, and that's probably the biggest indicator of Final Demand's chance today, that he's into, 9-2 now, 4-1 in paces. So, look, he was many people's idea of a banker last year, wasn't he, in the Turner's Novices Hurdle, and the new Lion beat him. So that was a bit of a disappointment. We just probably haven't seen the best of Final Demand. The market, as I said, is strong. I would almost want to see him win it before I'd have faith in him again. So as a betting proposition, I don't know. Romeo Coolio did win his point. Will he stay 3 miles? I mean, this could be the goal. I mean, what are we thinking about this race? We're thinking about future Gold Cup horses, aren't we? Is Romeo Coolio potentially a future Gold Cup horse? Yeah, possibly. Cocktail Divan has to prove he stays. Wendigo, is he good enough? Western Fold, and we'll love the ground. Kisbu had him. There's some spectacular leaps he threw in a Countin' at Christmas. Predator's Gold, as Thomas saying, there's a bit of money for that. I'm just going to have a little bit of a, I suppose, romantic view that maybe Oscar's Brother has an each-way chance as a stayer in this race. I was visually impressed with his win at Navan. He's beaten Cocktail Divan. He's a progressive horse, a grade two horse. I don't think the ground really matters to him. He's won on yielding ground and on soft ground. JB McManus wouldn't buy a horse for nothing. And I think that if Oscar's Brother won, I think it'd be a beautiful story for Conor King, who's only got two horses, and for Daniel King, his brother, to be the jockey, and neither of them have had a Cheltenham Festival winner yet. So Oscar's Brother, about a 14-1 chance for a very small and romantic interest each way. I think sometimes this race can be, I remember there's a horse called R.R. Vick who ran it in 2004, Johnny, was all the rage for Martin Pipe. And I remember I met Paddy Power, actually, and he just went to me, does he stay? And I said, I never thought of him not staying. And he was outstayed by Rule Supreme for David Casey, who's now assisting Willie Mullins, won at 25-1. You had Hussar Collange won this race, Johnny, like a stayer. Sometimes stayers win this race as opposed to speed horses. And there's going to be probably a good gallop, I would say. Like, you've got 16 runners here. Somebody's going to make the pace and there'll be a good gallop. And you want horses to get home. And that's why I'm looking at the stayer here. And that's Oscar's Brother each way for me.
Sticking with you, JD, for the 240. Lots of familiar faces here. But as the old saying goes, out with the old and in with the nucleus. The Yellow Clay, Bally Adam, Buddy One, Colonel Mustard. These are just the Irish horses. It was Put Your Hands Together for me. Actually, pretty much everything I was tipping on day one was on the drift. On day two, they've all come in for money, more or less. And JD, Put Your Hands Together seems to have plenty going for him.
Do you remember napped him last year or tipped him last year when he won? Was it the Fred Winter? Yeah. He's only 4 years of age. Once again, I remember this race. You could say the five-year-olds never win this race. And then, what's that horse? Sky's the Limit won as a five-year-old and bolted up for the late Edward O'Grady back in 2006. So the Yellow Clay is fascinating. I mean, the Yellow Clay has had a quiet season. Like, Michael Keneally's on board, the young claimer. But is he not a graded horse in the handicap here? He'll be carrying, 11 stone 9. So, I mean, he is a fascinating runner, the Yellow Clay. If we're talking about Final Demand, he beat Final Demand at the festival last year. This Jingo Blue has got a huge amount of support in the market. Obviously, Dickie Henderson's horses are, you know, going to go well this week after two winners yesterday. 40 coats, I wouldn't put anybody off. He was 150-1/4 in the Turner's Novice Hurdle last year. He's carrying 10 stone 11. under Darragh O'Keefe for Henry de Bromhead. And De Henry had Down Mexico Way and Zurich placed in that place race yesterday. So obviously his horses are running well and he's been targeting certain races, certain horses. I was thinking about 40 Coats for the fact that I loved the show on RT when I was a kid. It was a kids' TV program. You're probably too young for it, Johnny, but it was a good show, 40 Coats, Brand Dempsey. But the one I went for at a crazy price of 40-1 was Franciscan Rock, trained by Mouse Morris down in Tipperary. You know Mouse well, Johnny, and Josh Williamson, Norman's son, is on board. This horse ran really well in the Stairs Hurdle last year and just kind of faded, but really ran really well for a long way. And this race is now over 3 furlongs shorter. He was actually 5th in the race 2 years ago. And he's now with the jockey's claim, he's carrying £4 less. He's got 10 stone 7 on his back with Josh's claim. Franciscan Rock, there's no better man in the world to prepare a horse for Cheltenham than Mouse Morris. Think about War of Attrition and back to the days of Bookhouse and Trapper John back in the day. So Mouse was here yesterday. We know he's a brilliant trainer. And I think at 40-1, 50-1, maybe Franciscan Rock might be an outsider to give you a euro each way interest.
Well, between Trapper John, 40 Coats, and our Vic JD, certainly showing his age a little bit there. Tom, do you remember any of these characters?
Yeah, definitely remember 40 Coats, but I'm wondering what character my selection is, who has actually been to the UK 10 times and has never won, but has actually claimed £100,000 in prize money in the process. So I'm going to stick with Colonel Mustard there for Lorna Fowler.
What a likeable horse.
66-1, dropping back into a handicap, bit of decent ground, bit of spring on his back. Yeah, I know he's 11, but you know, he kind of makes the frame in all these sort of races, and it's 66-1. I think he's absolutely worth an each way play. You're going to get some, you know, extra places here and there. So yeah, so huge price, but you know, it's a not Coral Cup. So yeah, we're going to go with Colonel Mustard each way.
We got a father.
It's like Cluedo, folks. Remember Cluedo?
Indeed, we got a Father Ted reference in as well. So
Tom Malone with the money in the betting ring.
Everything's going well on day two. So yeah, let's get on to I've just done a preview elsewhere for day three, and you know, sometimes I haven't even had a drink this week yet, so it's been don't burn the candle. It's very, very hard though. Let's go Cheltenham, you know, you can get ahead of yourself. JD, the 320, the cross country race, a lot of love for Favori de Champdu here, and you mentioned Josh Williamson. I gave him a bit of a life on the gaffer.
Would you? Okay, yeah. There's money for all the Gordon Eddie horses. I remember Tom actually tipping Pied Piper, I think, in a handicap chase here earlier in the year on the racing pod, and Sammy Wynne rides him today, and a bit of money for him. And I met Don McLean, who's on the pod tomorrow and Friday, and he just was very strong on Favori de Champdu. And sometimes people are looking into ratings and they're looking into distances and all that kind of thing. And you got to remember, this is a very unique test, the cross-country race. It's a unique race. I think Favori de Champdu has obviously been turned inside out by trainer Gordon Elliott, who was a 66-1 winner of the handicap chase at Leopardstown at Christmas, and then came here and won by 8 lengths on trials day over course and distance. So sometimes it's about horses, like Enda Bulger used to train all these horses that turn up here and really just appreciate the test of the cross-country race. So maybe sometimes you need to forget about weight, forget about their park horse form, and look at the fact that Gordon Elliott here in the last 10 years has had 5 winners. Half the winners in the last 10 years have been Gordon Elliott trained. Cause and causes, Tiger Roll, as we know, that the legendary Tiger Roll, winning twice for Gordon and once for Denise Foster. And then Delta Work won it a couple of times as well. So look, Jack Kennedy has picked Favori de Champdu. Sometimes the answer, folks, is the most obvious one. And Favori de Champdu, for me, is probably the winner today.
Over to you, Tom.
Yeah, I can see why. And look, everything of Gordon's been backed. Gordon Elliott actually did a recent bit of renovation at this place. And he put a cross-country course in, or elements of cross-country in, on the farm. So all of these horses are getting incredible amounts of cross-country schooling. Yeah, I like Pied Piper, but the price is long gone on him as well. And, you know, John, I'm with you as well. Sometimes you just need to stop looking at a race and stick with your gut. And I'll never forget what Stumptown did here last year. He looked really well skipping around the cross-country there on Monday, the videos that HRI put up, Keith Donoghue was pulling the head off. He looked like he was booking and leaping around the place. I think the horse as well. I think it's a specialist course. I think you don't need to look into the weights and measures too much. I mean, we get too tied up in a pound here and a pound there. I think Stumpdown, it's and again, it's a race for course specialists. I can see the love for Favre de Champs too, but at the prices, I think there's very little between, you know, Stumptown and Favre de Champs too. And once again, I'm sticking with Stumptown.
Remember to gamble responsibly. We will be 14 races in by the time we get to the second last today, because we have discussed the Champion Chase. And Tom, I'm reminded of talking to Brendan Duke when Ballysack's Hank won a bumper in Cork. It's actually only August of 2024. It seems like he's been running a lot since then. Brendan Duke, the interview I did with Brendan Duke afterwards featured in The Phoenix. Now, it was the only time I ever featured, thankfully, in The Phoenix magazine, and this was absolutely nothing to do with Ballysack's Hank, but Paul Byrne was thinking, I wouldn't mind getting a hold of this horse. He's actually sold him recently, which I don't know what to make of that, but Ballysack's Hank for me, he's a lot going from here from an each way play perspective, but I stress each way because this is tight.
Yeah, and three handicap chases yesterday went to British trainers all round, so maybe that's something just to note generally.
Be aware, Tom, be aware.
Yeah, I mean, the way Madaro won yesterday, that was ridiculous, wasn't it? The horse didn't know what was going on. It's like, no, you have to go.
Yeah. What? I'm 10 legs clear?
Yeah. Why are you letting me go? That was magic, wasn't it? That was just...
Forget about horse racing, Ireland. Madara, let yourself go.
Yeah, exactly. Just he didn't know what to do with himself. You can,
Are you sure, Dan? No. You can do it. It's Cheltenham.
So maybe that's the case, it'd be aware. The other one, the glass angle would be Rubo, and he'll handle the ground. Again, I'm just wary of backing Irish horses in English handicap chases, just the way they get the penalties. You know, you win a race, you get £10. It happens every single time. The one I think that might have enough class, who's Irish trained though, is In the Pocket. And as you mentioned, Henry de Bromhead's horse, they're running well. But like, Be Aware and Rubo are the two that... You know, I just think the home team are going to take it. Might be between those. And if there is an Irish runner, it'll go well. I think it might be In the Pocket.
I had a good bet on Be Aware, JD, against July Flower, Cheltenham, November. I thought he was overpriced. He's a brilliant jumper, this horse. But again, with a lot of these Skelton horses, you really are wondering, should I be backing them at all unless it's March and at Cheltenham? Having said that, JD, he's rated 147, which doesn't give him much in hand.
I think with the Skelton horses, you need to follow the money. And if there's strong support for them, I think you need to look at them. I remember Langer Dan won, I think it was at the Carl Cup at the time. And the one I went for, lads, was Break My Soul for Ian Patrick Donoghue. We know what he did with Dunboyne, Johnny, remember? And he has Sam Union in the place, has got form tied in with Kitzbühel, and also ran well in the entry hurdle last year. Back over 2 miles on good ground, could be maybe at 136 a rating that could be in his favour. A bit of money for him as well this morning, 14-16-1. Break My Soul. If it obviously is unplaced, it will break my soul, but it might cheer my soul if it wins.
Lovely. And Dan Skelton in the nightcap has a 4-year-old filly, Metz Ta Sanchur, as well as Curran is a 4-year-old gelding by Satsas, who's had a kind of a colourful background. He's had stalls related issues, and his stablemate, the Irish Avatar, is my selection. Beautiful looking horse. Out to 12-1 now, actually, I see, with the sponsor. The mount of Harry Cobden. Over to you, Tom, on the bumper.
On the bumper, I mean, I don't know when the last time I backed the winner of the bumper, so I'm just going to go with a big price one here for a fella that I know will give a brilliant post-race interview if it wins. Moon Verin, number 19 in the card for Martin Hassett. Finney Maguire on board, won his last two. Beat a couple of really well-fancied horses in Fairy House the first day he won, and yeah, I'd love it. I'd love it for Martin Hassett now, I really would. And like I say, the interview, if he wins afterwards, they'll be still going by the time the first race gets underway on Thursday.
JD.
Keeping Company is my map of the day. We'll get to the maps in a moment. But look, I just love the way I was at Leopardstown. It was one of my very rare social days, Johnny and Tom, at Leopardstown at Christmas, the last day. And I just was there at the track and was really impressed by the way he kind of got off the bridle a bit, and then he just powered home. He just responded for pressure, and I think that's what you need in a Champion bumper. I think you need to be able to get up that hill. I think sometimes it's a race for 3 mile chasers, like Florida Pearl has won it, and you know, also great 2 mile horses. But Alexander Banker, a member, won it as well, was a good 3 mile chaser. So I think that Keep Him Company was sold for a lot of money, won a couple of points. Jack Kennedy's decided to go from, and Michael O'Leary, the owner, hasn't really been interested in the bumper for a long time. But in the recent years, they've gone for the bumper. They Jean Andou de Reyes in it. They had a horse last year who was unplaced as favourite. And there's a bit of money for it this morning. So I think Gordon Elliott likes it. And I think Jack Kennedy could have a good day. And Keep Him Company has been a horse that I've been very interested in since watching him in the flesh at Christmas. So I'm going to stick to my guns and hopefully we'll have a Saratoga type day.
I have fond memories of being in the Cheltenham press room when Fernie Hollow won the bumper and looking over to JD as the two of us made relative shows of ourselves. And fairness, it was like, I think I backed him at 20 to 1 on the day. So like at that stage, it was halfway at Cheltenham, hadn't really had a winner. And Cheltenham does get inside your head when you haven't had a winner. Hopefully we found a Fernie Hollow. We found a couple of nice winners yesterday. It's naps time, starting with you, Tom Malone.
I'm going to stick with the cross country and I'm going to stick with my boy Stumptown. I think he can do it again.
Oh my God, a nap in the... So we've a nap in the cross country, the bumper. I'm the only normal person of the three. I'm going to nap Mashborough, who happens to be... He's going to be roughly even money in the champion chase. JD, your nap is in the bumper.
Nap is Keep Him Company, folks. We're keeping you company in the racing pod all week. Every morning with Johnny Ward in the chair, 10 o'clock in the mornings. Pod's dropping at 11:30. And Keep Him Company, each way in the bumper. 13 to 2 shots for Jack Kennedy riding for Gordon Elliott. I mean, we had two placed horses and a non-runner yesterday, so we're quids in after yesterday's naps. Let's hope he can do the same today. Fingers crossed.
Absolutely fingers crossed. And remember, two more days to go as well of the greatest show on earth. It is time, before we conclude, to listen to JD's charity bets. And you spread them out quite nicely yesterday, JD.
Yeah, we had a non-runner was the nap. We had a couple of seconds and we had a fourter. So a bit of money back, but not as good as yourself, Johnny. That's why we have three of us to give opinions. And that's because if one of us fails, the other one hopefully will, the other two will do well. So what we're going to do, €200 thanks to William Hill to spend with for charity today on Wednesday on the pod. Number the 120, I'll sort that. 11 to 1 for Tenny Tway. 2 o'clock, Oscar's brother, Tenny Tway, 14 to 1. 240, Franciscan Rock, 40 to 1 for Tenny Tway. The 320, Favre de Chamtou, 30 euro win of 5 to 2. Irish Panther in the champion chase, 14 to 1 at Tenny Tway for hopefully an emotional win for the Hearties. 440, Break My Soul, 14 to 1 as well, Tenny Tway. And as I said, Keep Him Company, 35 each way in the nap in the bumper today at 13 to 2, folks.
Thanks to JD and Tom. That was the Racing Pod, the Cheltenham Racing Pod. It was episode 2 of the 4 days. Thanks for our sponsor, William Hill. It's been magic so far. We'll be back tomorrow.
The Racing Pod.
On Off The Ball.
With William Hill. 18+. See gamblingcare.ie.